Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, we're glad you're with us here. And if you're with us, it means you still care somewhat about what's going on. And hey, passion, no matter how angry it is better than apathy as far as I'm concerned with sports fandom. Happy Monday to you, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tony, the whole world's turned upside down. I'm on the opposite side of the studio now as the remodeling continues down here at Everbank. Maybe this is what was needed all along. Maybe my switching alignment will tilt the balance here and the plays that have been going wrong for the Jags, their own miscues that have been piling up, will somehow cease to exist. By the way, I preemptively shut that door today because I have a feeling it's going to get, the volume level may get a little high today.
Yeah, I got a feeling it probably is going to get a little bit high today, and I got another feeling that it has absolutely nothing to do with what side of the table.
Probably not.
Sit on as far as the problems for this team, and the real frustration about the issues for this football team is, as you described it yesterday on the post game, it's a moving target. And that's trying to figure out what is wrong is a different question every week. And in the end, I guess that's why it falls on, for the fans at least right now, the coaches and what's going on with them. Because, look, against Indianapolis, you couldn't get out of your own way with the penalties that you committed, right? You're plus two on turnover. You're outgaining them by 100. You got 300-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, 100-yard receiver. You find a way to lose that football game. You just get blown out by New England, right? Nothing you were going to do about that. But you get blown out by New England. Your team can't bounce back from a pick six against Carolina. And then in that game yesterday, we talked about it all week long, the matchup against Tampa Bay and what this team needed to do to put themselves in a position to win. Well, Tampa can't stop the run, so they ought to be able to get T.J. Yeldon going. Nope.
Yep.
Tampa, they got the rookie quarterback who's really prone to mistakes, so we take away Doug Martin, and this is a team that's been able to take away the opponent's run thus far this season. They did so well with that against Indianapolis. Nope. It's getting to a point where it feels like their opponents can do whatever they need to do on a week-to-week basis, and that's the area where the Jaguars look good that week, right?
Or they struggle that week,
right?
What their opponents need to do, and they're able to do it.
Because you and I, we both said after the game yesterday, how do you feel about how the secondary played? Pretty good. Well, Tampa Bay didn't do anything to stress them.
Right.
They were running the ball so well that they didn't have to do anything to stress the pass. It doesn't mean Devon House didn't play well in that game yesterday, in my opinion. But it's this week against Houston, it's at a point where it feels like if Houston comes into the game and their game plan is we're going to throw the ball in the Jags, you feel like it's going to work.
No, I hear you. But that was in response to a guy who was complaining about the secondary after the game yesterday, which I thought was far and away not near the top of the list of problems that they had yesterday. I thought Devon House got challenged a few times by Jameis Winston going up to Mike Evans, and I thought he performed well.
I thought he did too.
And again, they didn't feel the need to have to throw the ball down the field, and that's a shame. When they ran for over 120 yards, the Buccaneers did in the first quarter alone, Tony, it set the tone for the rest of the day. The Jags never were able to stop that, and as an extension of that, never able to cover those guys, period, in terms of catching the ball out of the backfield as well. So it was either handing it to him or dumping it down. Jameis Winston didn't even look downfield for most of the game in this game yesterday. He didn't need to, and they still were able to put up 38 points. Granted, one of those a defensive score. So, all right, fine. They scored 31, if you want to look at it that way. And, boy, I'll go back to last Thursday, and we asked a question that was ridiculed by people as to which guy would be more likely to contribute to a Jaguar victory, which guy would you rather have healthy this weekend, which, I forget the exact way we phrased it, Julius Thomas versus Paul Posluszny. Oh, how can you ask this question? Of course you got to have Julius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Julius Thomas. Well, Paul Posluszny misses a game, and they run it right down your throat all day long. I'm not saying he would have made every play and every stop out there, but I think it certainly had an impact on this game. And Julius Thomas, hey, it was good to see him go out there and get a few reps and make a few catches. But
could have had a touchdown.
Right, he could have had, if Blake had seen him.
Yep.
He could have had a touchdown. He was wide open running up the left side. But outside of that, the Jags still scored plenty of points, gained plenty of yardage. The offense really wasn't the issue yesterday, with the exception of the turnover, particularly the turnover by Corey Grant. I mean, Blake had an interception as well, and they scored a few plays later on that as well. That's going to happen. You can't turn it over in your own end, though, and let them just pick it up and roll into the end zone practically.
And that's where the accountability question comes in, right? I mean, you talk about the play where they had the interception. Maybe if Toby Gerhardt, I don't know, actually attempts to make that block on the guy coming up the middle, which is his responsibility on that play, maybe Blake does get to Allen Robinson, who's wide open over the middle, and doesn't feel like he just needs to get it out of his hand while he's about to get hit. I don't know. I put that on Blake, and I put that on Toby, right? That's on both those guys on that play. It's a terrible throw. He can't make that decision. He's got a guy wide open in the middle, but he doesn't have a whole lot of time to make that decision in that moment. And that's where you talk about the fumble with Grant, and Yeldon wasn't hurt at that point in the game. That was a sub-package. They had some plays they wanted to run for Corey Grant. It was the same play that had worked earlier in the game. They happened to try it down there on their own end on a first and 10. I'm not sure that that's the time to do it with Corey Grant at your own 20-yard line, you know, that kind of thing.
Corey Grant's played football before, okay? I mean, it's not like this guy. I understand that, but Tony, 10-year vets fumble as well. I don't think it's because Corey Grant is a rookie that he doesn't know you can't fumble in your own end. That's, you know.
No, but that's, it's, it feels like this is a football team that is finding new ways to beat itself every week. And on the outside, I don't know where the accountability is for the mistakes that they're making.
See, I understand what you're saying, but and a matter of fact, we'll get to that. But hold that thought, because I want to talk about this accountability issue, and that feeds into our question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. A lot of people calling the post game yesterday saying, cut this guy, cut that guy, cut the other guy. All right, here's your chance today. Based on the way any one individual, or if you have a list of them, are playing, do any Jaguar players deserve to be cut based on the way they performed or not performed through the first 5 weeks of the season? Are you in favor of cutting a particular player who isn't getting the job done? And if so, who? Okay, tell us who. And that's all we asked for today on the Fan Feedback Spotlight question of the day. At MD underscore 1010XL on Twitter, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and of course the Jaguars Facebook page, Jaguars Today Facebook page, excuse me, open for business as well. John Osier will be along a little bit later on. We'll get an O-Nose for you. Open phone lines for you, by the way, all day. 641-1010. We say all day, at least until noon. We can't control it beyond that, but we'll take your calls for the next hour and 45 minutes. Also, your texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at that very same number, 904-641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars fall once again. We're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I do. I feel bad for our fans. How many are there? 7,000? I mean, I saw them off in the corner chanting, and we come out, and we don't play as well as we're capable of playing. Now, this time, it's real. I feel for them. If they come down like that, how can't you? And, you know, that's what's disappointing as well.
It was unbelievable. You know, any time you go on a road trip or away game, you expect there to be very little fans. And even though it was in Florida, it was unbelievably impressive, the amount of Jaguars fans that were there. You know, they were loud throughout the whole game. I thought they did an unbelievable job, and we felt that, felt their energy. You know, so that just adds to the frustration that, you know, we let them down.
There's Gus Bradley, Blake Bortles after the game. I don't know if that does anything for you or not as a fan, but I think they need to say that. I think Gus needs to say that. I don't think anything he says is going to change anyone's outlook necessarily, but I do think it needs to be said.
It was, after dealing with a little over 2 years of Gus coming out and saying, you know, the comments that we've heard from him over and over, I think yesterday was the most, for a guy who's really emotional anyway, the most emotional we've seen him after a football game as far as talking about the performance of his football team. And I don't know if that's because he can kind of feel the opportunity slipping through his hands right now because of the way that this football team is performing and he doesn't feel like he's getting enough out of them, or if it's because he really is that upset about the performance of these guys and believes that they're capable of so much more than they've shown to this point. I don't know which it is, but yesterday wasn't your typical Gus Bradley kind of taking the bullets for all his guys type of day. And from what we heard in the locker room, there was a delay with him talking to Jeff, I know. And from what we heard from some of the players, it's because Gus was getting into him. And maybe for the first time, really, since he got here, really ripped into those guys and told him that it has got to be better, which is why I wonder if today you don't see something happen. And I don't know if it means that a player gets cut. I know Ryan O'Halloran mentioned yesterday on Twitter that if he was Gus, he would take over basically defensive play calling duties for the rest of the season. I don't know if we're going to see that kind of change, but it does feel like today something's going to happen in this building. I'm just not sure what it's going to be.
And it may be. Let me just speak for a moment about accountability. Then we want to get some of these phone calls rolling here today. I've heard a lot of people saying yesterday, how can you have Corey Grant on the field? How can you have this undrafted guy on the field taking that play? Why is he even touching the ball in this game? Okay, accountability, right? I heard Jeff Logman during the broadcast when Toby Gerhart missed the block that forced the rush pass, right, and that you talked about, Tony, Blake Bortles throws the interception. Jeff said he wouldn't put him back in the game. Okay, so Toby's out now, all right? And now Bernard Pierce is out. So I guess you ride T.J. Yeldon the rest of the way regardless, right? Because you can't play the young guy. Corey Grant had one carry up to that point, went for 11 yards.
Yeah.
Right?
Same play.
If you don't play Corey Grant, T.J. Yeldon was going nowhere yesterday in the running game. I'm not saying Corey Grant was the answer, but 11 carries for 32 yards for T.J. Yeldon's less than 3 yards a pop. Corey Grant had one carry for 11 yards. Why wouldn't you want to see if he could do a little bit more? And maybe break one, because if he gets a crease, he does have speed. Yeah, he shouldn't have fumbled the ball, but it's not because he's a rookie. Guess what? T.J. Yeldon's a rookie, too. It's not because he's undrafted. You don't think Corey Grant's played a bunch of football? He knows you can't fumble. He made a bad play. So at that point, okay, T.J. Yeldon then hurts his groin later, said that you just don't play with any running backs, because we got to hold them accountable, right? Sometimes you got to play guys, and it's not all that wonderful, and it's tough to stomach when the guys make a mistake, but you only have so many guys active on game day, and you've got to play these guys. At that point, you had no reason to think, hey, Corey Grant's just going to lay it on the ground here. Like I said, one touch, went for 11 yards. Had they not done that, Tony, I guarantee we would have got some questions. Why didn't they try Corey Grant more? They put him in there for one play, ran for 11 yards, and they never went back to him. Play calling, play calling, play calling. I guarantee you we would have had those calls.
Well, and look, I'm sure we would have. I'm not complaining about the play calling from yesterday. Honestly, I haven't complained much about the play calling.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about what I've heard.
But I am complaining about Corey Grant being in the game on that play.
Why?
Because they're at their own 20-yard line. You're trying to get a drive started. Your quarterback is the reason that you're moving the ball that day. Why are you trying to get cute with your running game?
Why is it getting cute that you're running the ball? I don't understand why it's considered getting cute.
I would say that you haven't been effective doing it.
Corey Grant had one carry for 11 yards.
Well, I get
should
that.
He, should he not get any more carries the rest of
the day? I'm not saying that, but maybe you do it when you have, I don't know, momentum in a drive like you did when he got 11 yards on the carry before.
Maybe if he rips off a run, you'll get momentum in a drive.
Or maybe the more likely scenario for getting momentum is your quarterback connecting with Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, which is what he had done in that game.
So they shouldn't run on first down at all?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you're saying.
Momentum
has to come through Blake Bortles.
I'm saying from your own 20-yard line, putting Corey Grant in the game to take a pitch from your quarterback on first and 10 from your own 20 in that game, in that situation, is a bad call.
I don't think so.
It's a bad call, and it's on the coaches.
I think it was a bad result. I don't think it's a bad call at all. I really don't. The result's bad, so you could say it was a bad call because the result's bad. That's fine. Then Blake Bortles shouldn't have thrown the ball where he got intercepted. That's a bad call, too.
Play call was good because Allen Robinson was wide freaking open, and Toby Gerhart didn't do his job on the play. Blake Bortles made a bad read and
a bad throw.
Right,
he made a bad read. And he made several bad reads during the game.
So maybe
he shouldn't be throwing the ball because he's made some bad reads.
Mike, you're going to the ridiculous end of this spectrum on this argument.
This argument that Corey Grant shouldn't be on the field because on the 20-yard line, as if we should be afraid of Corey Grant. If you're afraid of Corey Grant touching the ball, he shouldn't be on the team.
I'm saying that Corey Grant is not your drive starter. That's all I'm saying.
But
Corey Grant is not your drive starter. Blake Bortles might be. T.J. Yeldon didn't show that he was yesterday.
Don't you feel that isn't it pretty standard practice in the National Football League that they spell guys for a drive every once in a while?
Sure.
Right? And
sure.
So what happens?
Well, look, that's
that
a touch that usually
in.
Goes to Denard. I'm not denying that. That's a touch that usually
and
goes
Denard's
to Denard.
Not available.
And I wouldn't have a problem with Denard Robinson in that situation. I'm saying that if you're in...
Corey Grant's probably played more running back than Denard Robinson in his career.
Maybe, but he hasn't been nearly as effective in the National Football League as Denard Robinson.
But on this day, he's had one touch for 11 yards. Should
when
we
they
just
caught
be
him
afraid
off
to
guard?
I mean, I just...
There was... To start the drive from your own 20 with that play, it's the wrong decision.
No, it's not.
It's the wrong decision.
It's a bad result. It's not the wrong decision. It is not the wrong decision. There's no wrong decision. If the play doesn't work, you can always say it's the wrong decision. If from that standpoint, fine. If you want to go because the play didn't work, it's the wrong decision.
A pitch play to a rookie running back on your own 20-yard line, you're okay with that call?
Yes. Look, I don't love the pitch play, period.
There are levels of dumb to that.
Seriously, Tony.
Yes.
Really? Guess what? T.J. Yeldon's a rookie running back,
But he's your second-round pick. A pitch play to Corey Grant from your own 20-yard line is a bad decision. It's a bad play call.
It's a bad play because he didn't hang on to the football. It's not a bad play call. I don't think it's a bad play call at all.
I completely disagree with
you. Wow. I mean, so cut Corey Grant then. He should be top of your list. Why would you have him on the team if you're afraid to put him in to play running back, which is what his position is?
I'm not saying I'm afraid to put him in there.
You're saying it's dumb to have him on the 20 as if to suggest you're afraid he's going to make a mistake because you're on your own 20-yard line.
I said to start a drive with that play from your own 20-yard line is a dumb play.
Why? Shouldn't run the ball on first down ever?
I don't understand why
it's a dumb play. I just don't.
I don't understand how you don't see how that's a bad
because
play.
Because you haven't given me a reason to think it's a bad play other than the outcome.
In that situation.
Other than the outcome. Should Corey Grant not be on the field to start a drive ever? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Really?
I could reasonably say that, yes.
That's reasonable, you think?
Yeah, I think that it is reasonable to say Corey Grant shouldn't start as
you
a running back on a drive.
You and I have a different definition of reasonable then.
But T.J. Yeldon maybe should have been in the game at that point. He wasn't hurt.
And he wasn't going anywhere either.
So why don't you throw the ball?
So
what's working you don't do?
You mean when, again, Corey Grant had one touch. You keep talking about
when you caught him off guard. They did. It was a drive where they had momentum. They were just getting to midfield. They had driven the ball 30 yards on that drive already.
So Tony, Corey Grant's had one touch in the whole game.
You think
they're expecting it to go to Corey Grant on the 20? Is that what you think?
It certainly looked like it.
Okay, so because the play result, you don't like the result of the play.
I didn't like the play when they ran it.
Oh, boy.
When I saw Corey Grant in the backfield on first down, I was like, what are they doing?
Oh, boy.
I honestly was, Mike. I was like, what are they doing on this play in this situation of this game right now? What are they doing with Grant on the field right now?
That boggles my mind that you think that you shouldn't use Corey. Basically, don't use Corey Grant. Honestly, if you can't have him, if he's a backup running back.
Yeah, he's your fourth string running back.
Guess what? Not yesterday he wasn't.
I understand the situation he wasn't. So that again just goes to the point of why is he in on that play? Why is he in on anything except where you are trying to fool somebody? Because he got one other carry in that game, Mike, which goes to my argument, not yours, that they only trusted him enough. That they only trusted him enough to give him the ball twice,
Tony,
in that game.
It's not that at all. You go with your starter, he gets the majority of the reps. You know this. And every once in a while, you spell the guy, and you try to give him a different look with a guy that's got long speed that T.J. Yeldon doesn't have. You admit you'd be fine with Denard getting that play.
Absolutely.
He's not your starter.
Denard's the clear two for this team and has been an effective player.
He's not healthy. Corey Grant was effective on the one chance he had yesterday
in
until that play.
In a completely different situation.
Oh, my gosh. It's a completely different situation. So the only time Corey Grant could touch the ball is when you're at midfield and you have momentum on a drive, is what you're saying. Cut him now, then. Honestly, if you're that afraid of Corey Grant playing, cut him now.
I'm not afraid of Corey Grant
playing. Apparently you are if you listen to yourself.
No. That is not what I'm saying. I don't see how you can defend the call to have that guy on the field in that
situation. I cannot defend the result.
I don't see how you defend the call. I really don't. How is that guy on the field?
How do you defend the call when anyone makes a turnover, when anyone makes a mistake?
No. See, that's not what I'm saying. See, again, you go to the furthest end of this argument possible.
Tony, who do you want? So T.J. Yeldon has to play every down. What happens when he gets hurt?
No, he doesn't have to play every down.
Then who? Toby Gerhart, you said you got to hold somebody accountable. Bernard Pierce is hurt.
What have I said from the beginning of this? Throw the damn ball.
So don't run it. Don't run it at all.
No, on that play, it should have been a
just
throw.
Just on that play. So let's say they threw it and it was incomplete.
Okay.
Now we have to throw it again, right, I guess, right? Because we can't. Cause
or
still on
maybe
the 20.
You get T.J. Yeldon back on the field.
Oh, so you are afraid of Corey Grant touching the ball on their own 20. Okay, thank you. You see? Then cut him. That's my whole point. You're afraid of Corey Grant. Then you can't. Why is he on the team? You think Corey Grant belongs on this team or not?
Yes. I think he has a place on this team.
No, he doesn't, because you wouldn't play him.
No, I would play him. In situations, I would play him. Starting a drive from my own 20-yard line on a pitch play is not where I would play Corey Grant. I don't get how you defend that play call.
Where you got to play him? In short yardage?
I don't get on Greg Olsen a lot for the play calls he made. That was a boneheaded play.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a bad play.
Look, I don't like the pitch play in general, but to run Corey Grant.
But they didn't just run Corey Grant. They ran a pitch play to Corey Grant.
Fine. They ran a pitch play to Corey Grant.
Do they run pitch plays to T.J. Yeldon? No, they run pitch plays to Corey Grant.
Why don't they? Because he doesn't have the speed of Corey Grant. They're trying to get him outside as quickly as possible. Specifically for his skill set.
I get the thought process of what they were trying to do on that play. I'm telling you that I think it's inherently stupid to do it from that part of the field with that guy. That's what I'm telling you. That is my opinion on that with Corey Grant. Do I mind doing a pitch play at the 45-yard line when you've had six plays on a drive and you're working a little bit? No, I don't, because then you're trying to catch some guys off guard.
Right, well, send a memo to Greg Olsen what range of yardage that Corey Grant's allowed to be on the field. I guess the 45 to the 45 seems like that's about it.
That's not what
I
said.
So that middle 10 yards on the field. I'm shocked,
that's not
honestly,
what I say.
That you feel this way, and I think you're basing this on outcome. This is outcome dependent to you. Yeah.
No. Mike, you've heard me before say that I like the idea of having Corey Grant on this team. I defended Corey Grant being a part of this 53-man roster. I think that he has a place on this football team and a place in this offense where I would like to see them get the ball in space more to Corey Grant, because he's the only real deep speed they have on this team. Now, he happens to play running back. I got on him when he dropped the ball up there in New England. I like Corey Grant as a player. I don't like him being in the game in that situation. I don't like the play call. And whatever the result of the play was going to be, I don't like that call, that guy in that situation. I don't. The only thing that was working for you, as we said, was the pass game in that game yesterday. I get the idea, you're going to go to just abandon the run. And that's
not
what I
said. No, I'm not, Tony. You said the only thing that's working, T.J. Yeldon averaged less than 3 yards a carry. Corey Grant had one carry for 11 yards. So that worked. That seemed
one
to have worked.
Carry.
You're right. So that means we shouldn't go back to him again. Let's just keep that 11-yard average. Let's not risk that. Let's not go back to Corey Grant. I mean, all right, we're gonna turn this into 2 hours of this, and I just can't believe how completely wrong I think you are, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
I do.
And
I can't believe you're defending Grant on that play.
I'm not really defending Grant on that play. He made a bad play. I'm defending the fact that they can have him on the field at the 20-yard line. Other than that, cut him. If you're afraid to play him, and you are, you should cut Corey
Grant. I'm telling
you,
I wouldn't have played him on that play.
You should cut him. You should cut him today.
And
that should be your answer to the fan feedback question today.
My answer is clearly Bernard Pierce to who should get cut today.
It's not limited to one. Pierce, Grant,
who else? I don't want to cut the whole team like a lot of the fans do.
You apparently don't want to play Corey Grant, except on a limited, tiny little bandwidth.
No, I don't.
Right.
Do I think that
he's
a
running back?
Do I think that he has a limited role on this team offensively? You're damn right I do, Mike. I think Corey Grant, the rookie out of Auburn, who couldn't play running back much at Auburn because he couldn't get on the field there, has a limited role and package on what he should be allowed to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, I do.
And guess what? That's part of the limited package that he's got with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Then it shouldn't be a part of it. Am I not making myself clear that shouldn't be a part of it?
You're making yourself clear. Right and clear are not the same thing, okay? I understand your incorrect point. But let's move on. 641-1010. We'll take your calls next. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tyler trying to stir it up even more.
Yeah, he wants to come back with that play as a highlight. I said, no, we're good.
We're done with that play.
Here's the thing. Tony and I will yell at each other and we argue. I respect Tony. I think Tony's smart most of the time. Most of the time. And I don't know if he thinks that. I don't want to know what percentage he thinks I'm smart. But, you know, we have people.
We don't share. We don't need to go inside that way.
People tweeting at us agree to disagree. We're going to argue it out. We're not one of these hosts that just goes, we'll agree to disagree. We're going to stand up. We're going to defend our point. We're passionate about it, too. I mean, I dislike Tony. But I'll tell you this. If you do tweet at me to shut the F up, you're gone.
Yeah.
You're done. So, you know what? You can feel free to not listen to Jaguars today and certainly not follow my Twitter feed, and that's fine.
Sure.
But, I mean, we're sports radio. Have you never heard a sports radio debate before? Are you kidding me? I'm uncomfortable. What do you want comfortable about? We're arguing funny. Sports. Are you kidding me?
Some of the reaction, though, was pretty awesome. It's like people were like, it's like listening to our parents argue because we usually agree on so much, you and I, and we happen to have very divergent viewpoints on a particular thing that happened in the game yesterday. I don't want to get back into
and
it.
And not either do I. And
we both stated our case.
Honestly, on the text and the tweets, it's you're as crazy as I think you are, and I'm as crazy as you think I am.
Yeah.
And or vice versa.
Sure.
And there's a camp on both sides, and that just happens to be the way we feel about it. So we'll move on off of that one. That's the way I feel.
What play do you want to dissect next, Mike?
Let's go to, how about, I have no idea. Let's go to Christopher on the phone lines at 641-1010 to get us started here. All right, Christopher, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
All right. Hey, I like the passion. That was kind of funny. You guys are very upset about one play in the game that I don't think would have really made or break the game. I think it goes back
Hold on now. It was a fumble. It was a fumble
that resulted directly in a touchdown.
Right, that directed
in a game that they lost by 7.
By a touchdown, right? So it pretty much impacted the game very directly.
It did. But we were only up 1 point. Okay, so it wasn't like we were pulling away from that in that game. We never.
No, I understand. What our point is, you handed them a touchdown, and they went and got the ensuing 2-point conversion. And so that 7-point lead they took was the final margin of victory. So that's a pretty significant play because you gave him a free touchdown.
It's not all Corey Grant's fault. Who was blocking for him? Who blew up that play?
Apparently no one. Okay, Levante David.
It was bad.
Right.
Was bad.
Let's not get hung up on that play. What did you call that, Christopher?
The coach. I think right now our biggest problem is our leadership. Like, you guys, we're blaming each other right now, I think. I listen to you guys, you're kind of blaming each other right now about
Corey Grant. Tony's fault. Yes. No, it's Tony's fault. I don't blame Corey Grant.
Attitude, you know that saying, attitude reflects leadership? But why are we all eager right now to finger point and pass the blame when, guess what? Look at who's in charge. That, like, getting rid of the kicker last week and then putting in some rookie kicker that nobody knows about. That was in like the double A league or whatever. He wasn't even from the college.
Right, but do you blame that on Gus? I mean, wouldn't that be more of a Dave Caldwell decision to keep Jason Myers rather than Scobie? I mean, once he's your kicker, you got to put him in there to kick, right? So if you're Gus,
the coach has to help decide the strategy that we're going to keep. So the coach didn't have some kind of weighting on that decision,
ultimately, I'm sure he has some input, but ultimately, that's Dave Caldwell's decision. He's in charge of personnel and the roster. I mean, I'm not absolving Gus of any blame in the Jags 1-4 start. I'm just saying the decision to roll out Myers once he's your kicker, who are you going to send out there to kick a potential game-winning field goal? I mean, you know, and now you can look. I don't want to get too hung up on it. Jason Myers is very lucky because he kicked it out of bounds yesterday right after the Jags had put a touchdown on the board at the end of the half.
What was that? Was he being, like, did somebody tell him to try to squib it or...
I don't know.
...angle it or something? Because he's been kicking it to the back of the end zone since he got
here. I do not know.
Like, did they call a play besides just kick it as far as you can on that one, or did he miss it?
I don't know. But it went out at the 1, and it gave him the ball at the 40. And if Tampa wasn't afraid of their own quarterback making a catastrophic mistake near midfield, then, you know, it could have cost the Jags that there were more than 36 seconds left on the first half clock. It didn't. So, in the end, I don't think Myers did anything that really cost him yesterday. So, it's interesting to me. He's among the names. Maybe this is a carryover. He's among the names. I'm at least at 11.
Yeah.
If not, I haven't even checked Facebook. And Twitter's cut at least 11 different Jaguars today, just so you know. So, we got to get 20% new roster, Tony, moving forward. Let's get Charles up here next on 1010XL. Hi, Charles. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin's up next. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call, and I appreciate you guys trying to, I'm glad to have this kind of outlet after yesterday's loss. Look, let's do a little hypothetical. We have a stats guy like Billy Bean, and Billy Bean's Oakland A's come in 19th out of 20th place in the major leagues, and they do so bad that they go to the minor leagues, where they're 13th out of 15th. Let's also say Billy Bean's the stats guy of a football team, and under his watch, they go 10-43. Now let's take the name Billy Beane, replace it with Tony Khan. Now let's replace Oakland with Fulham, because that's his record. It's time, I think, that we go Abraham and Isaac time, put your son on the altar, bring the knife down. I think Tony
Good
Khan
luck with that.
Awful. Yeah, he's awful. Nepotism stinks, and yeah, I mean, that's our problem right there.
All right, thank you. I don't think that is if you're talking about issues, I don't think that's near the top of the list, but that's my prerogative.
And look, I don't even know how much of a role he has.
Right.
Like I really don't know how big Tony Khan's role is.
Right.
I really don't know what it is. I know talking to fans, that's a frustration that I hear a lot, and I try to tell them, look, I don't think Tony Khan is your problem here in Jacksonville if you don't have the right players. It's that they're not getting the right players, and in the end, that's on Caldwell. That's where that lands. If you don't feel like they got the right guys, it's on Dave.
Right.
It's not on Tony Khan.
And I bring this up, and I'm not telling you how to feel. I just want you to be aware of the implications of when you change general managers. Maybe you'd be fine with it. The whole thing's done. They're blowing the whole thing up if you get to that point. You can change the coach. If you're a GM, you typically get two coaches, right? You get to hire two. That's typical lifespan of a GM, unless they're more successful and they get a longer stretch. But if you fire the GM, the new GM is going to hire his own coach. That's going to be almost a prerequisite of taking any GM job in the National Football League. And if it's not, you set up a dysfunctional situation where the guy wants you to do well, but he also wants his guy in there. So you might as well say if you're going to get rid of the GM, you're going to get rid of the head coach, which means you're going to have probably a whole new coaching staff because the new head coach is going to hire his new assistants, which means a whole new offense for Blake Bortles for the third consecutive year in the National Football League. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. I'm just saying be aware of the trickle-down implications of making a move like that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't do it. Or you shouldn't be in favor of, maybe you are in favor of ripping it all, rip the Band-Aid off, blow the whole thing up, whatever euphemism you want to use. But be aware that when you make that move, you don't just get rid of the GM and leave the coaching staff in place. That rarely happens, and when it does, it doesn't happen with much success.
And I wrote about this a little bit last week on my Facebook page, but that idea of, you know, if you are going to go in that direction, if that's what you're in support of as a fan, understand what you're asking for. Like you just laid out there, Mike, and the idea right now that the best chance for this team to pull out of whatever terrible tailspin they're in is Blake Bortles. It's the progress of Blake Bortles as a quarterback and the leader of a franchise in this league. And I think you're seeing steps where they are making progress on the offensive side of the ball. Bortles looks like a much better player than he was last year, and the numbers indicate those kinds of things.
He's on pace to throw now for over 4,100 yards.
4,157, 32 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. That's the pace
those
your quarterback is on.
Those are remarkable numbers.
Right.
When you consider historical numbers for the Jaguars, it would be the greatest quarterback season in their history, bar none.
No, it's not even close.
Not even close. Now, Mark Brunell threw for 4,300 yards in 96, nowhere near the same kind of touchdown production, and you could argue he's playing with much more accomplished skill position guys
right
around him.
Which is why, when you look at it right now, it feels like if the axe is going to come down, it's going to be on Gus. And I think that you saw the reaction that you saw from him yesterday, and this is just my opinion on it, because he can feel the axe starting to swing a little bit in that direction. Look, they're 1-4, and the expectations were not for this team to be 1-4. I don't care what kind of injuries you thought they were going to be dealing with, especially with the opportunities that they found after they won that Miami game. Sure, you don't expect them to win in New England, but they ought to be able to beat Indianapolis with Matt Hasselbeck, and they ought to be able to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the fact that they lost both of them, and the way they lost both those football games being so divergently different from one another, speaks to what's going on with this coaching
staff. What do we talk about all week? You know, the defense held them to 13 points, Tony, right, in regulation. It wasn't the defense's fault last week, and the offense can't score after the second half. Well, they scored plenty after the second half this time around. And, yeah, they had a couple of mistakes, which led to points. Some of them directly led to points. So I'm not saying the offense was perfect. Nothing's perfect. when you're 1-4 and you're 8-29 over two plus seasons. We got to take a break. We will come back with this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL. Take more of your calls and texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We'll declare it a tie. You can stop texting us and telling us who think you won the debate. Because honestly, I can find an example.
Everybody lost.
I can find an example.
Corey Grant
that
fumbled the ball and the Jaguars lost. Everybody loses.
There's withering criticism of me. There's withering criticism of Tony. It's fine. He got enough criticism from me and him. Let's move on, and we'll do that next. 641-1010, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Hey, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, 1992, Washington wide receiver Art Monk became the NFL's all-time leading receiver in terms of number of catches at the time when he made his 820th career reception in a 34-3 victory over the Broncos. Jerry Rice ultimately would almost double that number, over 1,500 in his career. Birthdays for this date include happy 50th to Chris Chandler, two-time Pro Bowler who took Atlanta to the NFC Championship game in 1998, actually the Super Bowl where they knocked off Minnesota in the NFC Championship game that year. Leon Lett, born in this state in 1968. He's got some rings, probably best known for two miscues. Of course, having the ball knocked out from Don Beebe in the Super Bowl when he lackadaisically kind of slowed up inside the 10-yard line and Beebe knocked it out. And also for the Thanksgiving Day snow game with Miami and Dallas when he slid down and touched a punt and allowed Miami, I believe, to recover and yep. kick the little chip shot field goal and win that game. And also happy birthday to an underrated, outstanding player of this era, Adrian Wilson. Turns only 36 years old today, but five-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, and never got mentioned enough with the likes of Rodney Harrison and others, Ed Reed, and in this generation, just to name a couple, and he turns 36 years old today. This Dayton football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Yeah, you want to picture how the game's changed since Art Monk came into the league. You said he took the career receptions lead there during his career at one point. He's 18th on the list right now, all time. 18th after being the leader at some point just 20 years ago. And there are six active players ahead of him on that list right now. So crazy just how much of a passing lead.
No doubt about it.
Kansas City Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles left yesterday's game after his right knee buckled when he tried to make a cut behind the line of scrimmage. The preliminary report on the injury indicates that the worst is expected. It appears to be a torn ACL for Charles. He will be undergoing further testing to confirm that diagnosis, but it does appear that Charles is more than likely going to miss the rest of the 2015 football season. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers saw a streak come to an end yesterday, and it was not his team's winning streak as the Pack improved to 5-0 with a 24-10 win over St. Louis. Rodgers threw his first home interception since 2012 and threw two interceptions in a game at home for the first time since 2010. He also lost a fumble, so he was -3 on turnover differential. Not enough for St. Louis, though, as Green Bay again wins yesterday 24-10. On the other side of the ball, Todd Gurley rushed for 159 yards on 30 carries. I'm trying to temper my expectations for Gurley for this weekend when the Rams welcome the league's worst rush defense and the Cleveland Browns into that dome in St. Louis. But I'm not sure I'm going to be able to.
I'd like him to catch a few passes out of the backfield, too, because I'm greedy like that.
That would be nice.
Other than that,
he gets the worst run defense in the league this weekend.
I'll take it, and I'll take my first victory in Jaguars Today Listener League number one, thanks to Arian Foster and Todd Gurley, my dream backfield finally coming together.
Welcome back,
fellas. By the way, that sound you hear is everyone trampling each other to get to the waiver wire to pick up Charcandrick West, as he apparently has usurped Nile Davis's handcuff role in Kansas City.
I would recommend looking it up by the last name.
Yes. I would think, I don't know, how many Charcandricks can there be out there? Speaking of looking up some numbers, just a note, I just wanted to make this note today, because people have talked about, the pass rush, the D-line, well, they went out there and they tried to answer that, right, in part. And you can't fix it all with one guy, but that they were counting on that being a big part. And he got hurt, and that's no one's fault. The reason I bring it up is because I hear this constant drumbeat. Amari Cooper. I hear from hosts on this station, should have drafted Amari Cooper. Right now, Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson are both outproducing Amari Cooper through five games of this NFL season. So what are they missing by not having Amari Cooper? They're still not going to have any pass rush if they had Amari Cooper on this team. If Amari Cooper were playing, he'd be taking those reps away likely from Allen Hurns. So, well, okay, you'd have Amari Cooper. You wouldn't have Allen Hurns putting up these kind of numbers right now. I think they're fine, Tony, with those guys as long as they stay healthy. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns are fine as a starting pair of wide receivers right now. Are they ideal? Could you add some speed? Could you have continue to add to that? Sure, but I don't think that is the reason or the primary reason or close to the primary reason why the Jags are off to a 1-4 start.
No. Do I think the offense would be better with Amari Cooper in it? Yeah, but I don't know how much better they'd be with Amari Cooper because those two guys have been really good, but I'm not going to say that I don't think they'd be better with Cooper. I understood and I supported the Dante Fowler pick when they made it. Look, the guy tore his ACL in rookie minicamp. There's nothing you can do about that. That kind of freak stuff happens. And for all the callers that are like, should have got Cooper, if we let them talk for another 20 seconds, at some point they're going to say, this pass rush and defensive line sucks. I mean, it's they got to fix one or the other. They chose to go the direction of Dante Fowler. In the end, the long run, is that going to be the right decision? Let's wait until Dante Fowler gets on the field, too, before we start talking about that.
And all you Bridgewater lovers out there, and you know who you are, you know, Blake threw twice as many touchdowns yesterday as Bridgewater's thrown through four games so far this year. So let me know when he gets rolling, all right? This great franchise-changing quarterback that clearly the Jags made a mistake by bypassing last year. Let's go to the phones and welcome John to the program up next. Hello, John. How are you? John's gone. Tyler, you might want to take that dial tone out. Thank you, sir. Yeah, out. No, thank you. Who's
the fan base?
We just lost all of our callers.
They all just dropped off right now. They're all Amari Cooper supporters, so they're going to make the same point I was going to make. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. And today, our fan feedback question of the day asks you, are you ready to cut somebody in particular because of their lack of performance, the fact that they're not getting the job done? I'm not saying you don't ever cut anybody. There is... You just have to do things in moderation, okay? I don't know if you cut somebody to send a message that mistakes are not going to be tolerated, but is it that you're trying to send a message, or is it that you're tired of the mistakes and you can't have the mistakes anymore and you let a guy go? Bernard Pierce hasn't done much to help this team win. Yesterday, on that long punt return, he runs down the field. He turns around, starts running the other way, and starts blocking a Tampa Bay Buck return team member. I don't even know if you're calling him a defender or an offensive player at that point in time.
A blocker.
He became a blocker, but he's blocking the proper
guy. The guy had to be thrilled.
It was just the weirdest thing. Like, what are you
thinking? Let me keep up this charade. If he's going to try to block me, let me act like I'm trying to get blocked. You know, I mean, what do you think that Buccaneers player was thinking in that moment when Pierce turned around and did that?
Look, what was Pierce thinking? I think people would like to know.
I don't know. And look, I don't know what Pierce's role is on this team. And if he can't give you anything in special teams, then he doesn't need to be here. Because he's not returning kicks, he's not returning punts, and if he's that bad for you on the special teams too, he has no role in the running game, essentially, then why is he here?
I don't know.
You know, and so that's kind of the, like, when we asked the question today, that's the guy that I had in mind. And I'm not sure that that's a let's make an example out of a guy type guy. I think that there needs to be some level of accountability for what is happening on the football field for these guys. And when you're making the type of plays that Bernard Pierce made in that game yesterday, and you're not adding anything to the football team, you don't need to be here.
Understood. And that's the thing. Are you adding something to the football team? Because you can't look, everyone's going to make mistakes, right? And this to me, and we kind of collaborated on this question, and my angle on it wasn't that there was this particular guy I was looking to cut. It was more like in reaction to people saying, you've got to set an example. As if, okay, you could cut Bernard Pierce. Does that do you think that that means, I don't know, pick a guy, is going to say, oh, man, I better not block the guy on the other team this week.
It wouldn't be the first time that they've cut a guy because he wasn't performing. They cut Winston Guy in the middle of the season last year.
You can cut guys for not performing. I'm talking about the sending a message crowd out there. You know, cut guys so people know that you're going to be held accountable for mistakes you make. Well, that's fine if you've got an alternative that's better.
Right.
That's my point. And if this team had all these alternatives that were better than these players, I don't believe the coaching staff is trying to lose games. I think they'd be playing those alternatives.
Sure, and that speaks to the crowd that is responding to this question saying, let's cut Jokel, let's cut Beatles, let's cut starters off of this football team because they're not producing at the level you expect them to. This isn't high school, you know, where you can make an example out of a guy and maybe say, you're not going to be, we're going to sit you down for a quarter so you can see what you're doing to your teammates. That is not this level of football. And to expect that in the NFL is a ludicrous thing to expect. They don't need to be cutting starters off this football team. They need to be cutting the guys who aren't performing with what they're being asked to do. And a guy like Bernard Pierce, that the crosshairs are on that type of guy and should be.
You see what happened yesterday in Detroit. Stafford throws three picks and gets benched in the game.
Set down, yeah.
Right? Jim Caldwell said, look, a guy's having a bad game like that. You put him on the bench. He goes, do I need to tell you he's still our starter? Of course he's still our starter, right? I mean, yes, Matt Stafford has struggled this year. He hasn't been very good. He's clearly the best alternative they have. You don't
sure.
want to play Dan Orlovsky going forward. So, you know, I get it. Then maybe Toby Gerhart misses such a crucial block. Maybe you do take him out for a series, or maybe he doesn't get back on the field in that game. But you better have somebody that can come in and do the job better, right? Or as well as he's doing it. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have in that instance. I'm just saying when people say, cut this guy, I have a list, Tony, so far it's 12 people that Jag fans, Gerhart, Beatles, Branch, Clemens, Jokel, Anger, Armbrister, Pierce, Cyprian, Myers, Lewis, and Lee are all cut based on just a Twitter reaction. I haven't even looked at Facebook yet so far. We got to take a timeout. We've got the phone lines back rolling up. We'll get some of your calls on the other side. John Osier will stop by as well, and we'll get his much more reasoned take, I'm sure, on what's been going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns for Jacks, guns the number 4, JAX.com, or stop by on South Lane Avenue. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Are here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, if you're on the line, we'll get to you coming up in a minute. We'll take some calls with Johnny O here, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. John Osher, senior writer for Jaguars.com, joins us in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Johnny O.
Oh No.
Oh No. Again, with the Oh No. I think one thing that bothers Tony and I in equal measure, other than each other this
Me?
Morning, is you.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Is that when we're talking about what needs fixing with this team, it has now become a wildly moving target, right?
Yeah, and I heard you guys talking about that before. Yes, and I don't think that's uncommon for a struggling team in this league. You know, and it's not good because when you're doing that, then something else is creeping up all the time. But I don't think that's terribly uncommon for a team that's, you know, clearly trying to find itself and has made a stride or two in some areas that aren't showing up on the field. You're going to have this week it's this, this week it's this, this week it's this. But at some point, as I think I wrote somewhere along the line in what I've been writing last night, this morning, you hope, really hope, that this run defense is a one-game, you know, deal. So far it is. It was a very good run defense until yesterday.
Until yesterday. And obviously the absence of Paul Posluszny, I would think, played a role. How much of a role?
Had to have, but, you know, it shouldn't play that. I mean, it shouldn't be, okay, we lose Posluszny, and then we just can't get any team off the field. I mean, if that's the case, then it was too dependent on one guy. Now, but certainly he helps in getting your right situations. There's a confidence in Paul. But with a team that I think it's hard to imagine that the pass rush issues are going to change very much this season. They're probably not going to be a team that is just dynamic with the front four. They're going to need to blitz. So what you don't need is to couple that with not being able to stop the run. Because in the first four games, you could really, I mean, at times,
right,
they were really good against the
hopefully
run.
Get them into obvious passing situations where you can send a little bit more pressure and not get burned by
you can't
a draw
do
play.
Either, I mean, I'm not writing any new football chapter when
right.
I say
if you can't stop the run or the pass.
You can't do either, you're in trouble.
Right, you're
going
to be.
But it had been a point where when you watched the run defense in the first four games, it had gotten to a point before this game yesterday where you thought, well, they're pretty good at I mean, not just they're okay, that was something they could take away.
Especially when you looked at the job they did on Frank Gore, with the exception he had the run in overtime, but that's four and a half quarters in the game.
Sure.
They did a pretty good job on Frank Gore. Then Frank Gore went out and chewed up Houston pretty well 4 days later.
And it was solid. It was stout. It looked clean. It didn't look like they were fluking into it. I mean,
right.
There were guys flying, you know, the old flying around thing. And then you stop and say, Paz made a lot of tackles in that game. I mean,
he made a ton of tackles.
So, again, he's a really good run player, really matters, and he felt going into the season, he talked a lot about what Skuda and Odrick and having those guys who were going to be stout in front of him were going to mean, and it had been showing up. Well, he wasn't there yesterday.
Right, he wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't want to pin it all on that.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be that, but that was glaring, and it was a problem, and it hurt.
People look back, and, you know, one thing, look, and I get it. You're frustrated. You're looking for answers, but people are saying, man, Dave Caldwell, failure. How'd you let JT Thomas leave? They didn't feel he was a starting-level player. Let me tell you, he started five games for the Giants. JT Thomas had about as many tackles for five games as Telvin Smith had yesterday, okay? He's made 13 tackles in five games. That's not an impact player.
Well, he had a nice blitz last night, though, so you're going to see. I mean, that's
for the most part, he has not been an impact player. He's been, I mean, look, he's a solid player. I liked him when he was here, but they didn't feel he was worth years, $12 million.
For a healthy Jaguars quarterback.
But people are saying, and that's the point,
no.
Right? He would have been a backup here.
Sure. He'd be playing middle linebacker right now.
He was offered starting money, though, to go to the Giants. Should the Jags have anticipated that we're going to get Puzzle. Now, Puzzle's had some injuries,
sure.
But should they have paid him starters money to be a backup? That's the question. I mean,
right.
That's the question. I get it. Some people will say, well, you're not using the cap space on anything else. And that's a pretty fair rebuttal, quite frankly,
uh-huh.
Because if you're not going to use it on something else, if you're not saving it for something, you probably could have overpaid a little bit here.
For me, the bigger question is, and we had another caller on the post game yesterday say they could cut whoever they want, nobody's picking them up. Well, when they cut LeRoy Reynolds, Chicago picked them up. And
Jeremiah George is down in Tampa right
would
now.
Would LeRoy Reynolds
well,
be playing linebacker for this team yesterday? Yeah. He would be on the field for this team yesterday,
right.
And he's a guy that showed that he belongs on an NFL field at the linebacker position. And why isn't he on this team? Because they got boned at the end of the week by Marquise Lee.
Right.
I mean, that's why he's not on this football team. It's the juggling they've had to do with this roster on the bottom end because of what's going on with some of these injuries, specifically 2 weeks in a row with Marquise Lee, is confounding.
All right, let's get a couple calls in here while we have Johnny O on the line. Let's start with Dave next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, Fat Tony, I got to clue you in about Corey Grant a little bit, okay?
Hey, seriously, Dave, no offense, let's not go down that. Tony and I spent 10 minutes arguing that out. So.
No, I don't want to argue as far as that goes. I just want to point out I'm an Auburn fan, and he's just talking about how he barely got on the field at Auburn. That's just not true, okay?
Okay.
All right, go beyond that. Do you have another point you'd like to make or a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, he fumbled the ball. But I've been waiting for them to get him involved more in the game to begin with, all throughout the season.
Okay. There's no new ground to go over with Tony and I. We're on diametrically opposite sides of it, and that's fine. And
Gus said afterward, they had some plays, they had some packages planned for Corey Grant, and that's when they decided to use it. That's the why. Whether you agree with the decision, that's up to you.
The result's bad.
Sure.
Look, and I get it. And, again, we've set our piece on this. I don't really...
And something should be pointed out that, I don't know how much you guys have discussed it, the general feeling, and correctly so, is that was a bad game for the defense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was. At the same time, as bad as they played, you still gave the Bucks three short point blank opportunities,
yep.
the fumble recovery, the 58-yard punt return,
yep. and the interception.
And I'm not saying that to take anything off the defense. It just shows you, even if you, within the context of an NFL game, even if you play poorly on one side of the ball, if you eliminate those kind of mistakes,
you can still win.
You can withstand a side of the ball not doing well, being deficient, whatever, because they were strong offensively at times enough to overcome that if it hadn't been for the mistakes.
Yeah.
And it just showed, you know, it, as much as we talk about base level deficiencies, which is what we're all trying to get to and figure out what's wrong and what's here, you're still supposed to be able to win NFL games with things happening against you. But when you give them things, it's very tough.
Granted, but when you give up over 120 yards rushing in the first quarter, I tend to think, okay, they would have had just more statistical success because they would have driven it longer and further. The Jags didn't stop them most of the day, period. Short field, long field. So granted,
yet,
that's a factor.
At the same time, you know, all that said, and I'll preface this by saying, I'm not saying that the defense played well enough. It did not get it done. You still are up 24-20 with a third and long. And if you get them off the field right there, you have moment. You know, it still comes down to a few plays that, for some reason, in the last couple of weeks, this team has not been able to make.
I understand.
And that's what's baffling, and that's what's perplexing. I think it's why you saw Gus so animated yesterday. It's those things that keep cropping up that you feel like they should be beyond.
All right, let's get John up here next on 1010XL. Good morning, John. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
I thought Coach Bradley's press conference was very interesting and very telling and very curious yesterday in a couple of ways. In fact, there were four questions I would have loved for somebody to follow up. I'm going to give them to you real quick, and then you can comment on whichever ones you want. He said something about, when he was talking about the fans, he said, this one was real. And I just wondered what he meant by that, because I think most fans would say they've been real for the last 5 years. That was odd. He talked about hoping that this would shock the team into doing better. I would have asked him, why wouldn't have last week's or the New England blowout have shocked the team into doing better? He said that they hadn't game planned for Julius Thomas, which I thought was really curious, considering he was 50-50 all week, and so they got to the weekend and they were surprised that he was going to play, so they didn't game plan. And then finally, you know, of course, he said that it was built. We were capable of winning, and we should be winning. So I would have wanted to ask him, so what is this problem that you're talking about, and what you're going to do about it? So love reactions to any of those, because I thought that was the first time that he was actually. I think his emotion got to him a little bit, and he was very telling yesterday.
All right, I definitely think he was more emotional. I don't recall the specific that was real or this is.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about the fact that there were so many fans who came down, and it's always tough to really know exactly what a coach is getting at because you're sort of firing questions at him, and it's an emotional moment. I just got the impression that. When he was saying it was real, it was, you know, that fans had a real reason to be upset. They had made this trip. So I assume that's what he was getting at. But it's hard to really put into words exactly what he meant when he was talking about the fans. Because obviously when they're down there and they see fans, and Gus especially appreciates what that means and how supportive this group is. So I think the real probably meant, you know, you would have really liked to have been able to send them home with a satisfying experience. I assume that's around what he was talking about.
The Julius Thomas thing, I was under the impression they didn't think he was playing most of the week. I thought it was a surprise questionable designation. Like, they're like, wow, you know. Here's the thing. If you don't think a guy's playing and you're trying to get him back up into game shape,
right.
And you build a game plan around him, and then he can't go,
right.
Which I think most people thought was the more likely outcome.
Right.
And as it was, he didn't play all that much
right.
yesterday.
I got the impression, again, that what he meant by that was, did they not have anything in for him? No. They had some situations where he was going to play. But when they're game planning during the week, they were not building the whole thing around, hey,
expecting
let's
Julius
build
Thomas
this
to play
around Julius
Thomas,
you know, come hell or high water, or what, you know, and then have it blow up in our face. So I knew when he said that, they would get picked apart a little bit because it's, well, why didn't you game plan? Well, yeah, they had options for him, but they did not build the offense this week around Julius Thomas. So I'm sure that's what that was about.
Let me ask you about Brian Anger and his role in punt coverage. And, you know, Howard tweeted out a picture, you know, of him booming it. And I don't think the first jag was 15 yards within the ball, right, when the catch was being made. He averaged 55 yards a punt. He's not much as a directional punter.
No.
I mean, so what? You know, a lot of people. I'm actually surprised with as many things that have gone wrong with this team that there's as much directed at Brian Anger. In fact,
I was a little more concerned on that play with Bernard Pierce throwing a block
on the right, throwing a block, turning around running and throwing a block going the other way.
I mean,
almost as if he thought he was playing for. Like, the Jags were returning the punt, and he was blocking the first Tampa Bay guy he saw.
No. On the film, I mean, as you watch the video, at some point he sort of took on that demeanor. We've all seen the guy when they're coming down, and they look for the ball, and they set up for his body and mind had him on punt block for a brief time.
Right, on punt return block, right.
Yeah.
Right, like he flipped because he did a 180.
Yeah.
He's running down, and then he just turned around and started to go, all right, like, here we go.
And it was, I assume it was one of those, you know, brain fades where you lose
and
it.
And that to me, if Bernard Pierce suffers the wrath and gets cut.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like that.
I'm not saying you have. I'm just saying, you know.
No.
I understand the desire to put a guy's head on a platter. I do, but you better have a better alternative. I'm not saying you can't find a better alternative than Bernard Pierce because I don't think he's giving you a ton. But
this
you
week
know,
may not be the
I
week.
I showed you the list. Now I think we're up to 15 different players.
It's a comprehensive
players.
List.
It's starting to get deep. Now Audric is going to get and people have brought up. You know, he's not getting any sacks. He's not making any splash plays like he did against Miami, with the exception of the Miami game. That's the nature of that position.
Yeah, if you're waiting for big sack numbers out of that position, you know, you're going to wait a long time.
Avery Jones just got cut a few minutes ago. Henny actually got cut on Facebook because I think they fear he's rubbing off on Blake, was the logic that I read on that. So we're going to cut the guy who's not even playing as being responsible somehow, because that'll
Blake's
send a
the reason he didn't get to that second read on that pick.
Henny's the reason that Blake didn't, yes.
Are Hearns and Robinson on that list?
No, Hearns and Robinson
they were on
are
a list
sticking
that
around.
I was making up in
In the preseason, you
in
mentioned.
In preseason, they were cut.
They were cut by others as well. Hey, look, I get it. I do understand the frustration, and people are like, hey, you know what? Would you notice if Clemens was not out there? Or if he is out there, do you notice when he is out there? Either way. So I understand. There aren't certainly reasonable to think that there may be a few guys on the street who could be just as non-productive and maybe surprise you, right, with their productivity. But you start talking about cutting starters. I mean, they're starters for a reason because they've already determined they're better than the guys who are already on the team,
right,
who are they feel better than the guys who are on the street. So to think you're going to cut a starter and find an answer somewhere out there in unrestricted free agency right now is, I think, unrealistic. Let's just put it that way. That's a nice way.
Yeah, and when you talk about unrestricted free agency right now, those guys aren't restricted for a reason.
Because nobody wants them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of their careers, but they're out there for a reason at this point.
All right, Johnny O, here we go again. What do you have coming up today?
Oh, we got just some good Jaguars talk. No, Jaguars.com live at 12:45 leading into Gus. And the Gus Bradley press conference will be worth watching today. Will he be as animated as he was after the game? He usually has a different tact, and he's thought about what he's going to say going into that. So considering how animated he was and considering where they're at with the season and they're 1-4 and considering all the questions, it should be a good watch.
Do you think he would consider taking over defensive play calling duties or anything like that?
I don't know that. I doubt he would get to a point where, you know, he's holding the card on the sidelines and making those calls. I think a head coach has enough to do without doing that. Would he have more of an influence during the week? Would he have more of an influence in you know, being the last line of defense, so to speak, as the play goes in, you can get to that point.
All right. He is John Osier. You can follow him on Twitter simply at his name, John Osier. And, of course, read him at Jaguars.com and catch him multiple times throughout the week here on Jaguars Today. Johnny O., try to have a good week.
I will have a great week.
Excellent. We're glad all this rolls right over you and doesn't impact you.
I wouldn't say that, but I'll have a good week.
I'm just kidding with you, man. All right, there he goes. John Osier, everybody. Jaguars Today rolls on. We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up next and get a few more of your calls in as well on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I don't know where to start. This one's painful. You know, going into it felt like we were prepared, but obviously we weren't. It's about accountability. And players and coaches, we got to take responsibility for what took place on that field. There's no one else's fault but ours. You know, our fans, great showing. I don't know how many were there from start to finish. I know our fans heard as well. I think we all got to look in the mirror in this locker room and figure this out.
Maybe that was the cut the caller was referring to. I don't recall Gus saying this was real, but said this was painful. He said it a couple of times. Said it immediately after the game to Jeff Logman right outside the locker room. He big sigh and said, oh. This one's painful. That's what he started with. And look, they're all painful to a degree. I think this one, he's saying this one probably is one that we did expect to win. And we did, if you go through all the mistakes that they made, Tony, they probably look back and say, wow.
Sure.
You know?
Not only that,
half of them.
But stack it on top of the last two. I mean, it's to get embarrassed the way they did against New England and look like they were that much worse than that New England team right now when they thought they were getting something built, hopefully. To lose that game against Indianapolis where, again, you're beating yourself. And then in Tampa, you beat yourself again. And it's just stacking these types of losses on top of each other. It's going to eventually there's a tipping point.
So we asked today based on the particular performance in the fan feedback spotlight. I'm not going to get into all the detail. We're not going to read all the tweets so we can get a couple more calls in here. But let me just give you the list of people that have been cut from the team, both players, coaches, front office. Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, these have all been suggested by at least one person. Chris Polian, Tony Khan, Toby Gerhardt, Zane Beatles, Andre Branch, Chris Clemens, Luke Jokel, Brian Anger, Thurston Armbrister, Bernard Pierce, Jonathan Cyprian, Jason Myers, Mercedes Lewis, Marquise Lee, Jared Odrick, Chad Henney. Poor Chad, what the heck did he do? And Avery Jones have all been cut. In case I missed anybody, I apologize. You can join your other
Avery
15
Jones.
Friends. You can join your 15 friends on the unemployment line.
Man,
that was the list.
I know. It's like a hornet's nest.
We got a call yesterday that said Alualu needs to be out of there and Avery Jones should be playing in his place. So it just goes to show you, you know, people will look at the same thing. Kind of like us, and see the different side
of it. I
really
do.
Sometime.
I feel like every time I get on Twitter, it's like I'm trying to knock down a hornet's nest with a hammer. Like, it feels that way right now with this fan base, because it's coming at you from all angles.
My favorite text of the day, though, Tony, is the person who listened to our debate on the Corey Grant decision and say, they said, thanks, Mike, you reminded me why I changed the station at 10 a.m. Of course, they were listening between 10:20 and 10:30
right.
when they heard that. And so and now I just discovered I can reply back on these texts. I'm going to have so much fun.
Uh-oh.
I said, really? How did you hear that? He goes, oh, thanks again for the reminder. I'll switch back at 6 a.m. I'm saying hello to you right now because I know you're full of it, okay? The people who always claim I'll never listen again are the ones who always text you and say, see, that's why I don't listen. As they're listening to you say something that they don't like. Don't listen.
Yeah.
I quite frankly, I'm not going to bother me. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. That's your prerogative. If I upset you, if Tony upsets you, I'm sure it's a lot more me than Tony. You got the choice. Don't listen. Don't follow us on Twitter. Don't follow us on Facebook. Do not participate in the Jaguars Today experience. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we think is the best product we can do for the most people out there. And if you don't like it, I guarantee you they're always going to, no matter what we do, there's going to be somebody that doesn't like it. Fine. I'm really all right with that. And I'm
we
sure the boss has
love
when we say,
listener.
Don't listen.
Right.
I do.
Appreciate
I appreciate
the hell out of our listeners.
But if I'm
going to
frustrate you and make
else,
you angry,
do it.
It's,
yeah.
If you think it's going to upset me to send me those kind of things, I guess you're new to me because you don't know me all that well. Let's get a couple calls in here. DJ, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'll cut Audrey. I don't think he's getting it done as a free agent. He don't jump off the screen. I'm not looking for stats for him, but I need pressures and stands there. He don't jump off.
He's not there for pressure, DJ.
No,
he's playing
no,
Red
no,
Bryant's
no.
role.
I'm talking about D-line, like, staying, like, okay, Grant Hardick can play the five technique and the seven, and he was effective doing both yesterday. You see what I'm saying?
Greg Hardy's a Pro Bowler, okay, and he's also a miserable human being. Would you rather have that guy, really?
Yes. All right. I want that guy, yes.
You want that guy. So, hey, yes. Hey, hold on. DJ, quit screaming, all right? Lock up your wife. Lock up your daughters, okay? Because Greg Hardy is a miserable piece of crap. And Terry Bradshaw hit it right on the head. Go Google what Terry Bradshaw had to say. League has no room for Greg Hardy, okay? And you want Greg Hardy here. Give me a break. Seriously, I guess you have no female relatives if you really feel that way. Sorry, DJ. Stuart, you're up next here on 1010XL. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Love the emotion. The diversity of people that want to cut different players shows you kind of the lack of talent I think the team has, and I think that all falls on Dave Caldwell's head. I've been kind of reviewing the draft choices that Caldwell, and can you guys throw me out a grade on what you think of the draft choices of the entire draft class of 2013? Joakil, Cyprian, Grotz, Sanders, and Denard Robinson.
Not good. I don't know.
I agree. I give them a C or a D.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. They haven't been difference makers. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I'm not arguing that they have been. We never have.
Yeah, and look, I'm curious to talk to Lagerman when he gets in tomorrow. The offensive line wasn't great yesterday, and what does Joakim look
six
like?
Six sacks yesterday.
Right. I mean, what's on Joakim and what wasn't from that game? Look, you can't feel like anybody played very well. They didn't run the ball. They didn't protect Blake all that well. Now, he somehow threw for 300 yards in that game despite all that. But I'm curious to talk to him about what's going on with that offensive line. And Cyprian was really good last week up in Indianapolis, and I thought that he was out of position like we've seen Sip be.
Yeah.
A handful of times a game yesterday.
We thought he had his best game maybe of his career, of his three-year career in
Indy. It's just inconsistent. That's the 2013
draft. And it's a moving target, right? I mean, for the draft class, starting for the team as a whole, it's one thing. It's can't score in the second half. All right, we're scoring a bunch in the second half. Oh, now we can't stop the run today. I mean, and maybe John's right. Maybe teams that are struggling, it's going to be a different leak that springs every week. It's difficult to deal with. Let's get Jerome in here under the wire. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. What's up?
I think it's time for Gus to go, man. I'm sorry, but every week it's always the players this, the players need this, the coaches have to put these players or coach these players up to where they know what they're doing. And if they don't know what they're doing, you need to put somebody in there that does know what they're doing. It's like you had 3 years of free agency, 3 years of draft, 3 years to bring in whoever you wanted to bring in. You said you needed these players for your defense and your scheme, and you got rid of all these other players, and now you got your players, and now you're still losing. I think it's all the coaching. I think it comes down to the coaching. And apparently, I think at times we get out-coached. And he said himself, he doesn't even know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on and you're the head coach, you need to be gone. And I'm a season ticket holder. I'm going to continue going. But at the same time, I would like to see somebody else.
All right, thank you, Jerome. Appreciate it. And I think we have Chris on the south side to close it out today. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, guys, real quick. I expected this preseason to go 6-10, but yesterday had to be one of those six, and that's the part that's so frustrating. I mean, I don't expect the players to stop playing or the coaches to stop coaching, but it's just becoming impossible to support the product. So I won't be surprised if you see a crowd of 40 to 45,000 people out there at Everbank.
You know what? That's one of the repercussions that happens, Tony, you know, and I know there are fans out there right now. I'm sure the people that were on those buses and heading down to Tampa are like, hell no, that's wrong. We're passionate. We're going to be there. We're loyal. And I don't doubt that there are people that feel that way.
They're the 40,000 that'll be there.
I don't blame anybody. You pay for your tickets. You just, if it's becoming a bad experience for you, if you're not enjoying it, you're a consumer. I mean, I don't think a mark on you as a human being if you don't go to a football game. I'm not encouraging people to do that. I hope people pack the place because I do think the experience is better. I do think it adds to the atmosphere. I do think it gives you a little bit of a home field edge, and I want this team to be successful, so I want them to pack the place. But I understand if they don't. I'm not going to tell somebody who spends a ton of money. It's not cheap, you know, tickets, parking, no. Everything, concessions, everything that goes into it, gas getting down to the stadium, you name it. and you feel like you're coming away and not getting what you're paying for week after week. I mean, you know, if Shad Khan's other company was selling bumpers, people got bad bumpers, they'd say, hey, I'm not going to buy your bumpers anymore, right? So I understand. I really do. I know sports and the bumper business are not a perfect, you know, mesh, but you know what I'm saying. So, hey, I wish we had the answers. We clearly don't. We can't even agree on a simple play call in this football game. So we certainly don't have the answers. Maybe Loggy will have some for you tomorrow when he joins us on Jaguars Today.
I doubt we'll have answers. We may have
reasons,
lists of names for
right.
people to hold accountable for things
well,
that went wrong.
I'll hold on to my fine 15 here and see if we can add to it tomorrow. All right, it's going to do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Thanks to all of you out there who listen, and even the ones who claim you don't. We appreciate you as well, particularly. But be more creative with the text. I mean, come on, some of the insults are stuff I heard back in the schoolyard. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'd at least like to go, ha, that was clever. So we move along, and we'll turn it over to XL Primetime coming up next. Thanks to Wild West Guns of Gold, our Monday sponsor here. Should I spoil The Walking Dead? Nah, I won't do that for you. I can't believe they killed Rick, though. Seriously, in the first 5 minutes of the episode? No, I'm kidding. Of course they didn't kill Rick in the first 5 minutes of the episode last night. It was a great season premiere, Tony.
Not in the first five.
I know you're behind, but it was really a good season premiere. All right, I'm done. I'm joking. There were no spoilers there. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.